Okay, today I've got so much that I wanted to bring, and I am bringing you a Thus Saith the Lord. There's just so much that's happening, and it's happening so quickly. And Father, just help me with this now, because I know I can be scattered, and I can get over there to the book of Jude, and I can just go there all day long, and I don't want to do that unless you say the same. So help me, Lord. Help our ears to hear. Speak, Lord. Change our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, on July 5th, we know that Supreme Court made a big change and ruled against abortion. Sent it back to the states. Yeah, at least we got one person happy over here. That's good. And this morning I heard that now even Mississippi has ruled against it. So that's one state that says, nope, not here. Thank you. One more clap over here. That's good. California is still a sanctuary city state, so I don't know what you want to do with that. Maybe boo. But anyway, there was a lot of things that came up that week, but I don't think God's finished with it yet, do you? I just don't. I think that July is still full of a lot of things. It won't even be coming from Supreme Court, but we are watching the hand of the Lord. Now, I met here while Dixons were here through Sheriff Boudreaux. I met the Senator Shannon Groves. And so she came, and I ran on to her. Lainey and the girls and I went to see the 2,000 mules in Bakersfield, or just I went with them. And so I met Shannon Groves while I was there, and we talked. One of the things she said to me as we were going out, Shannon Groves said, well, let me tell you, Pastor, you're not seeing everything like we see up close as they go to Capitol in Sacramento, and you know they're connected. And she said, I'll tell you this, miracles are happening every single day that nobody hears of. So I want you to be encouraged that miracles are happening every day. God is looking out for us. And now we're watching him start to overthrow their ideas. They've got a lot of weird ones, a lot of strange ideas, but we're beginning to watch him embarrass them. And the confusion is just, I feel like it's the hand of God. You might disagree, but I have the pulpit right now, so I just to see poor old Joe, President Biden walking up the steps to Air Force One, and he stumbled three times, just going up the steps, not down. And then the other day, he fell off his bike right in front of the cameras. He wasn't even riding the bike. He was just getting off and fell. No, you don't wish that on a senior. That's horrible. And then the other day, you know, he read his cue cards that said, repeat. And it tells him the things to say. Repeat, and then it said, end of quote. And he read that. And then Vice President Kamala Harris is a smart woman, I think. Well, now, but she did get to be vice president, and we're not. Now, she went way up in Sacramento, and a lot of people tell us how she got there. We don't know that either. Some of you might. But anyway, now the woman can't even talk. They're calling her speeches word salads. That's like a tossed salad, just everything in it. And yesterday or the day before, she made a speech using the word, we need to be serious, I guess, about gun laws. And she said, we need to be serious. Now we need to be serious. We need to give some thought so we can be serious about this. And then she tidied it up with, y'all, we need to be serious. And so I believe God's confusing them. And you say, that's, you're getting way out there. No, it's the word of the Lord. It's the word of the Lord. It's all right. Now we heard that one of President's men would openly said, hey, all of this is helping us to set up the liberal world order. The liberal world order, not the one world order. One world order is coming, and that will be when we're in the, you know, in heaven. We've been lifted out of here. The Antichrist is on earth after we're taken away. So the one world order will explode, and everything right now is being set up for that. It's all coming into alignment. And confusion, I think, could be summed up if you will look with me over to Jude. Look at the book of Jude. And if you want to call this homework, I'll give it to you. But read the entire book this week sometime. Read the entire book. And I know there's been many eras during these past 2,000 years that would fit this picture. But it's another one that we can look at today. But I want you to go to the book of Judas just before you get into the book of Revelation. Just a little one-pager. It's like a little postcard. All right. Look at Jude. Can you all hear me okay? All right. They hear me good. All right. Look at... Oh, Kathy, I think I'm going to have to start. I don't want to read the whole thing, but I think I'm going to have to start at verse 1. Would y'all read it with me? I mean, not out loud, but you're going to look. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, a brother of James, to those who are called, say that's me, sanctified, that's me, by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. Say, that's me. So he said, I'm talking to you, my people. Mercy, peace, and love multiplied to who? To me. Beloved, Jude says, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning the common faith, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. And then he goes into why I had to change the subject. Now, I was going in another way, had worked on it yesterday, but now I had to go another way, just like Jude did, because of verse 4. Look at this. For certain men have crept in unaware who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness, and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, last Sunday, we celebrated, and on the 4th of July, we celebrated Independence Day, America's birthday, where she became independent from British rule. Okay, so what these people are doing today is being independent from God. They want him out of the picture. It didn't just start. I mean, Madeline O'Hara started way back there in the 60s, and it started long before that, but she wanted him out of the school, and one woman achieved that. So now it just keeps going on, and so they want to be independent from God. Verse 5. But here he's talking to those same sanctified people, verse 5. But I want to remind you, though, you once knew all this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward he destroyed those who did not believe. They were his, man. He brought them out. He said, you all are safe. But later on, he destroyed them because they wouldn't believe him. And the angels didn't keep their proper domain in heaven, but they left their own abode. They did it. God didn't do it. He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of that great day. So he said, I just had to put them in total darkness into hell. Verse 7. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, look now, having given themselves over to sexual immorality, gone after strange flesh, and are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. They don't care. They'll speak evil of any dignitary. And then he goes on, and I'm glad he put verse 9 in. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending, or that means fighting, battling with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, he dared not even bring against him a reveling accusation. But he said, the Lord rebuke you. So he's saying, man, Michael the archangel had a lot, he had more respect for the devil than these filthy dreamers have for people in public place or authorities. whether it be pastors or policemen. They're like, take the money away from the policemen. Are you kidding me? They're dignitaries. So there's always rotten apples in every group. We know that. There's bad doctors, there's good doctors. Bad attorneys, good attorneys. Bad cops, good cops. Good saints, bad saints. One of my pastors used to call us the saints and the ain'ts. And he said, it's up to you which side you get on. So anyway, we just saw where they gave themselves over to sexual immorality, abortion. What's this administration? Not just this administration, but the worldview. People of the world have given themselves over to every kind of sexual immorality. Abortion, I don't have to explain to you what that is. It's too grotesque. Strange flesh. Drag queens on staff at the White House. Transgenders on staff. Married gay people on staff. You say, well, that's no different than any other sin. Oh, it's not? No. Romans chapter 1 says that strange flesh and worshiping the creature more than the creator, that's abomination to God. He said, I just hate that. It says it's abomination, it's hatred that goes into the nostrils of God. And God deals with that. He just told us. He just said, man, if I dealt with the sweet people that I brought out of Egypt's bondage and I still had to destroy them, and if I had to send those angels out of heaven and take them down, and Lucifer that worshiped me every day before the throne, he always worshiped me, if I had to put him out, he's like, I don't play, folks. All right, we'll just move on. But I want to say this to you. There is an upgrade coming for the church. And I believe there will be an upgrade in America. Now that will take some doing, but our God can do anything but fail. And when God says something, that's just the way it's going to be. I went to Nashville, as you know, a few weeks ago. And so I asked the girl at the counter, I said, hey, is there any chance I could upgrade? My seat was way back there, you know, and you've got about this much room in the front of you and seats in your face. And she said, well, let me check. So she checks and there was no room. So she denied me. See, that would have been an upgrade for me. It would have been an upgrade. It would have been first class. Man, the seats are wider. You get food. They're just so good. After you eat, you wash your hands, you know. They bring you a little hot cloth. It's just nice. Well, there was no room for me there. But I want to tell you, to those who he said are called and sanctified and loved by God the Father, I'll tell you there is an upgrade coming for you and your house. May as well just write it down. Everything in our lives now, especially with technology, has to be upgraded. You get the phone. You use it for a year, maybe two. And then it's got to be upgraded to a number 10, another 12, another 13. What number you got? I don't know. I forgot what number years ago. You just keep getting numbers. Even your TVs have to be upgraded. They'll say, you got a smart TV? I don't know. They're not very smart. Now we're even talking about you got to upgrade your car sometimes. Because you get a certain car, you got to upgrade the car. It's just upgrade, upgrade, upgrade. All the time. Your phones, our phone system here at Landmark, we had to have those upgraded a few months ago. The phones, the system. So I believe I heard the Lord telling me there's an upgrade coming. I want to call my message today, upgrade is upon us. I don't believe it's coming. I believe it's already started. And I believe that it started on July 5th. It's already started. God said, I'm taking this bull by the horns and I'm going to take this thing through with or without those who want me to do it. Because when he decides he's going to do it, he just does it. Hallelujah. So let me tell you, not only, oh, I'm so thankful. Holy Ghost is so good. He knows how to bring these messages when we don't. Everything is full of upgrades. But God has been doing upgrades See, that's old-fashioned. He has upgraded for years and years and years. This Bible is full of upgrades. Full. You go back to the garden. Man, they were about as first class as you could get. Didn't get any better than the Garden of Eden. They had everything until man fell away. And when man fell away, God wasn't pleased with that. But see, God never. He never has a plan B. It's always plan A. So he thought, well, that's all right. You want to fall away out of me? Man, you had it going on. You need both. But you want to fall away? All right, I'll just upgrade. I'll upgrade. By this time, there were so many people on earth. You know, I don't know if their children had been born. They were already. But however it went, don't let me get started off into rabbit trails here. But I'll say this. After a while, God said, I do have another plan. I'm going to upgrade you to the tabernacle. And they set the old tabernacle out in the wilderness with old Moses. Set that tabernacle out there and set the Ark of the Covenant in it. Set the Ark of the Covenant. Years ago, you guys bought me this ring. I don't know, probably 25 years ago, as soon as we started the church. And it's actually, I am so blessed to have it. I take good care of it. I don't wear it much because it's the Ark of the Covenant. It's called the Ark of the Covenant. Has the little rods on the side and a big old stone, you know, in the front and angel wings on each side. Well, he said I'm going to upgrade, and so I'll set the tabernacle and I'll put the ark in there. And from that ark, I'll sit right there on the mercy seat. That will be my seat, God said. I'll sit on the mercy seat. And I will talk with men. And the priest would go in. And then he said, I'll apply the blood of an animal. Bring the blood of an animal. And when the blood would be thrown on the mercy seat. And God would minister. And the old priest, they would go back and forth. And when the blood was shed. The animal blood. It would simply forgive the person for the time being. You know how it was. So they weren't cleansed like we are. But there they would go into the in there and they would get cleansed and man's sins would be covered. I think it's Romans 7:4 that says, blessed is the man whose sins are covered. You know, it's like an animal being skinned and you get the animal skin and put over them. He said, blessed is a man whose sins are covered. So even with the tabernacles, their sins were just covered. And after a while, God says, well, you know what? That's good, but I'll upgrade. I think I'm going to upgrade my people. And so that's where he sent Jesus 2,000 years later and said, I will upgrade my people. They just have their sins covered. But let me take their sins totally away. And let me justify them. And let it be as though they had never sinned. Just as if they had never sinned. I will justify them and sanctify them. And so church, listen, don't calculate your past without the Holy Ghost. Without Jesus, without the blood. Our sins are forgiven. They're gone. The only time he knows about them is when you bring it up. And he's like, what are you talking about? Our sins were forgiven. So it just kept getting better and better. And then all of a sudden, you come to New Testament. Jesus is here. And the greatest thing in the world has happened. He's just died. And you're like, okay, he's getting ready to go away. And God begins to say, y'all are going to need an upgrade.
Yes, God. Thank you.
You're going to need an upgrade.
Yes, God. Thank
you. You can't stay down here without me.
Thank you, Lord God.
I'm not going to let you stay down here like little orphans.
Thank you.
Upgrade. You're like, what? If I was there, I would have said, Lord Jesus, what else is left? You were already here. You died for our sins. You're going away. What is it? He begins to talk to them in John chapter 17 and John 16. And he says, listen to me. He said, it's expedient or very important for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Holy Ghost can't come. And when he comes, right now, I am with you. And he shall be with you, and he shall be in you. And honey, I'm telling you, that was a big upgrade right there. So the Holy Ghost came. Let me show you in black and white. I get excited, but I want to show you the scriptures. Kathy, give me John 16, just so you'll know it's written.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
Jesus will never, ever leave you alone. He said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will never walk away. Other people may have rejected you. But he said, I will never leave you alone or walk away from you. Okay, look at John 16, 6 and 7. 27, 28. I'm sorry, 16. What did I say? 16. Oh, 17, 18. Hallelujah. Okay, 16, 7, and 8. I knew that wasn't it. 7 and 8. Kathy, is that what I gave you? 16, 7, and 8. Nevertheless, Jesus speaking, I tell you the truth. It's for your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, which is called the comforter in the Old King James, will not come to you. But if I depart, I'll send him to you. And when he has come, here's what he's going to do. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, no one can convict the world. No one convicted you. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. He says, I'm going to send you a helper, a comforter, and he will be here to help you. All right, let's go back to chapter 14, and then we'll move on. 14, 16. John 14, 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper or comforter, that he may abide. Look at that, circle it. If you haven't already got it circled, I'm sure you have. He will abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. He says, the world can't get this. They can't understand what I'm giving you this morning. The world can't. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. Hey, did you hear that? He says, you know him. You know him, Jeannie. You know him, Gloria. You know him, sis. But you know him. For he dwells with you, and he will be in you. Now, the reason he said he will be is because he hadn't come yet. As for right now, he says he's with you. Old Testament, he came. His hand came on Moses. His hand came on Elijah's hand, came on Elijah's hand, came on Daniel. So he just came on them. He said, up until this point, the Holy Spirit has been on you and with you. But now he will be. Somebody say will be. He will be in you. And when he came in the upper room, we won't take time to go over there. But when he came in the upper room, he came in them. Verse 18 says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now he came into Jesus. He was even on him. But he came into him at the baptismal pool there at the Jordan River. Hallelujah. And so isn't it amazing that this Holy Spirit is so beautiful? He's so powerful. He's a helper. Oh, if we had time to read chapter 14, 15, and 16, you would see where he teaches us. He is a Spirit of truth. He gives you all truth. And when you can't understand what's going on and why, whatever, it doesn't matter. Because he says, I know. I know about it. So here's the thing. I'm thinking, okay, God, he is so good. He's so wonderful. He's so kind. He's our helper. Parakletos, which means one called alongside to help. That word actually in the Hebrew is translated like you have an usher at a wedding, and ushers at the doors of the wedding. And when the company comes in, then the parakletos, he puts his hand up like this, or the usher, and he ushers you in. And the mother, you're going to sit here. And dad, you'll sit here. And then he seats everybody. You on the bride's side or you on the groom's side? And so he sits us. And so that's what he is talking about when he says he will be a helper. So the Holy Spirit is here to help us. That's almost embarrassing to me to say, Holy Spirit, you're here to help me? I thought I was here to help you. Grab that. Get a hold of that in your spirit. He's here to help you. Yeah. Jesus orders our steps. But today, I just want to tell you this. Today, just the mention of the Holy Spirit just messes with people. Churches don't want him anywhere around. The world doesn't want God around. But the church is like, oh no, don't speak in tongues. Don't talk in tongues. And don't be telling people there's another work outside of salvation. That's crazy. They don't want him. And that's why the church is in such a mess. That's why she's such a weakling. Well, somebody said, yeah, but I knew one woman once and she got filled with the Spirit and she went to one of those Holy Ghost churches and she was weird. And you know what I told that brother? I said, she was weird before she got the Holy Ghost. I know her. If they're weird before, sometimes they're weird after. Maybe get weirder. But don't judge the Holy Spirit by goofy people. God's got a lot of strange friends, but he loves us all. Sometimes I just get so mad at one of my sisters, I go over to my mom's house, try to tell on her, tell mom you did it. And mom say, now I love her. Now you leave her alone. Don't you say one word to her. But that's how God is with us. He loves us all. He's like, don't you be picking on my kids now. I love them all. I know you do, Jesus. I'm just kidding. All right, look at Romans 8:26. Don't worry, I won't keep you much longer. Unless I do. Romans 8:26, look. I'm reading this because you need to see it. You need to see it in your Bible. Thank you, sis. Hallelujah. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, also helps in our weaknesses. He not only teaches us the way and gives us the word and anoints us, but he said he helps you when you're weak in your silly old weaknesses. But we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes we get to a place where we don't even know how to pray. I mean, we just don't know what else to say. Like the song said, when I don't know what to say, I don't know how to pray, I just say the name of Jesus. And it says the Holy Spirit there, he comes and helps our weaknesses, and he shows us how to pray. Now, Luke 12:11, I want you to see this. I'm not going to turn, but just look at Luke 12:11 up above. I've given this to so many young men and women. Most of the time when they're looking at jail or looking at prison time. And yeah, 12:11, Luke 12:11. I've used this so many times in my own life. An opportunity comes and you can't always take every opportunity that comes your way. The Holy Spirit will check you and say, no, don't do that. And then there's times where the door will open and you're like, I don't know. And the Holy Spirit just takes you full force into it. And it's the greatest thing that ever happened. Sometimes the closed door is the greatest answer I've ever had. Prevented something. Look at Luke 12:11. Now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, when they bring you there, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Now, the old King James says, don't premeditate. That means don't stay awake all night trying to premeditate. Oh, Lord, what am I going to say? No, you don't have to. He said, the Holy Spirit will teach you what to say in that self same hour. So the Holy Spirit upgrades. God upgraded. How can he upgrade from the blood of Jesus? He said, I'm going to send you a helper here. He's going to help you in every area of life that you're going to need him to help. Okay, so let's go farther now. So he'll upgrade you from weakness to strength. From the turmoil and the storm, he'll upgrade you to peace. But there's a way that you get that upgrade. And as my grandma would say, I'm going to take you there right now. But don't you ever try to calculate. See, if you start thinking about your past, then you get messed up. And you get all ashamed and you get all unworthy. Oh, I'm not worthy and I'm not blessed. And the devil wants to tell you you're not blessed because you did that and you're not blah, blah, blah. Don't go back there. And don't go up in the future, because you go up in the future, then you're going to get all worried and stressed out. And you can't change it. Leave the future out of it. Listen, folks, if we will just stay right here, right now, you're sitting in the pew, you're sitting right in your chair, and everything's cool right now. None of your kids have called and said this or that. You haven't looked at your bank account, man. Right now, everything's good. And the Holy Ghost said, that's the biggest upgrade you can get, is just stay right here with me. Just stay right here with your helper. All right, let's go back to Jude for a moment. Back to Jude. Sometimes you walk alone. Has anyone ever walked alone? I feel like sometimes I walked alone more than I've walked with people. Probably have. But as long as I know he's my helper, is with me, all is really good. It's good. I mean, everything else might be going on, but things are good as long as I know he's there. All right, look at, oh my goodness, we're fixing to go here into a place. All right, let's read 17, Kathy. Take me back to 17. I want to just throw this in. 17, but you, beloved, still talking to us. You, beloved, you sanctified. Remember the words which were spoken by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. So don't be surprised by what you're seeing go on. He told us that. Verse 19, these are sensual persons, sensual, who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. They don't have the Holy Spirit. So how are they supposed to act? You get paid. They get paid for sinning. They get paid for sexual immorality. You know, I mean, that's what they get paid to do. But you, verse 20, somebody say, but me. I'm going to get an upgrade. Here it is right here. But you, beloved, you build yourselves up on your most holy faith. And I'm glad he said holy faith. He didn't just say your faith. He said, you build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying how?
In the Holy Spirit.
The old King James says, in the Holy Ghost. That's how the old folks used to say it all the time. Praying in the Holy Ghost. So he said, you build yourself up. Now, when you build something, that's construction. You got to build a foundation, and you build, and you build, and you build a mansion, and you build it pretty, and you build a shop, guys, and you build it however you want, and you just build. So he said, you build yourself, beloved, up, build up on your most holy faith. Now, for the past 40 years, our faith maybe, somebody's going to throw something at me, but maybe it wasn't so holy. Maybe it was. You judge. But our faith teachers taught us our faith was to get cars, get money, get fame, get fortune, get stuff, material things. But he says, this is the day and this is the hour for this upgrade. We're going to build ourselves up on our most holy faith. How? In the Spirit. In the Spirit. It goes way deeper than stuff. He said, now you just seek my kingdom first and all of its righteousness, and I'll just add all those things to you. I mean, you'll just get those. You don't have to waste your faith on that. That'll come to you. You just build yourself up on your most holy faith. And the only way you're going to do that is by this. And if you try to do it without the Holy Spirit, churches without the Holy Spirit are going to fall apart. They just are. The mega churches. Where are they? Can their people stand? I told you this morning, man, it was hard with us pushing through the waters of death with COVID. That was so hard. But we did it with grace. And he helped us with his strength. He was so good. And there's just times where things are not always just exactly the way you want them. But I'll tell you this. He said this, praying in the Holy Ghost. Most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Spirit. How do you pray in the Holy Spirit? It's tongues. It's unknown tongues. Praying in the Holy Ghost is unknown tongues. Now we're in a church where we can say that. Okay? So we speak in tongues, unknown tongues. We could take that somewhere else. So you have an unknown tongue where you don't know what you're saying. And then there is the known tongue where you have understanding. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians, I pray both in the spirit or in tongues, and I pray with the understanding. And he said, sometimes I sing in the spirit in tongues, and sometimes I sing with understanding. I do both. And he said, by the way, I speak in tongues more than all of you, the Apostle Paul. And so he said, I do, but when I come with you, I'm not going to take you to lunch and pray in tongues over the food. You think, you goofball? Okay, so use our intelligence and pray in English. He says, if somebody comes in, how are they going to know what we're saying? Okay, so you can praise and worship in tongues. You can pray in tongues, but you also have English or your language there in the Caribbean with the Dominican Republic. No, Dominic, yes. Yeah. So here we go. Praying also, Paul also said, Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and all supplication in the Spirit. So he doesn't, don't leave him out of anything. Listen, this morning I knew that this message could be so big and I could be here all day, and I promise I'm not going to, but I just had to go in my room and I got my secret place and I prayed in the Holy Ghost. I prayed in tongues. I just sat there and prayed in tongues. Yesterday, I spent most of my prayer time praying over this in tongues because I didn't know what to do. I just didn't know. It was just so much. In this day and hour, it's just amazing. So you all listen, when your marriage is kind of getting weird, you know, every now and then men are kind of strange. Remember that book? Men are from Mars, women from Venus. And if you think the men are strange, you ought to look at the women. So what do we do when we don't understand each other? If you are the called and sanctified, you've got an upgrade, you guys. You got an upgrade from the English language. You got tongues. You have a heavenly language, and that belongs to the Holy Ghost. It belonged to him. And he said, I want you to pray in my language. And so that's an upgrade right there. So you pray over your marriage in tongues. You pray over your children in tongues when you've prayed all you know to pray. You pray over your finances in tongues. You pray by the Spirit in the Holy Ghost. Because a lot of people may want to speak in tongues without the Spirit. No, the Spirit brings you power, and the Spirit saints will bring strength, power, boldness to you. I mean, absolute boldness. Whew. We won't even get started on it because I'm going to tell you, this new wine will do for you what the old wine does. Man, it'll make you bold. It'll make you cry. It'll make you weep. But church, we are not a church that's going to give in to the culture of the world. We're just not. The culture is an atmosphere. And the culture is everything that Jude said it was. Should I say it again? The sexual immorality, racism, confusion, unrighteousness, lawlessness, abortion, all the above. We're not here to fit in. You want to fit in? I could care less. We're not here to fit in. But God says, I've set you apart. And there is a glorious church rising up. There's a glorious church full of holiness. and full of power. And I believe as filthy as this world is right now, and as filthy as the church has become, where we've just mingled Jesus in with all the other stuff, we go to the same movies they go to, so maybe curse the same things they curse, say the same things, do the same things. When that happens, what happened? There's a little mixture. You make a cake, you better make it right. You better make it according to the box. Throw a little dirt into it, it's not going to work. Not going to work. You can't just do it however you want to do it. But I believe with all the filth, this move of God will be a move of holiness. Amen? Hallelujah. It'll be a holiness. And we have an upgrade. He said, you build yourself up praying in the Holy Ghost. So they were in the upper room. They were praying. They believed to see the power of God. And he said, now to him who will keep you from falling. Amen. He can keep you from falling. I don't care where you've been, what you've done, where you are right now. Say, I need that Holy Ghost. Yes, you do need to be filled with the Spirit and baptized in the Holy Spirit. But you've got to receive salvation first. And if you've already received salvation and you said, I haven't received the Holy Spirit, then receive him this morning. Just receive him. Now, let me show you something. You know, we get so religious and we think things have to go the way we think it ought to go. And let me show you how they received the Holy Ghost in the upper room. Jesus said, I'm leaving, but I'm giving you an upgrade. And they didn't know what that was. He said, it's the promise of the Father. Now we have the promise of the Father in the Holy Spirit. And so receive him today. It's a gift. He is a gift. And you say, if I pray in tongues, it'll just be plain old gibberish and I'll be making it up. Well, then stay in your old filthy flesh if you want. Because you're fleshing out when you say that. You say, I'm afraid I'll be in the flesh. Well, then stay in the flesh and you won't be able to pray in the Holy Ghost. You need to pray in the Holy Spirit because he said he will pray things that you don't even know that you ought to pray. I would say those of you that pray in the Holy Ghost, I would say you've probably thwarted accidents from happening. Things happening to your family. Probably brought bonuses into your life. You didn't know to pray that you'd be at the right place at the right time. Holy Spirit was praying through you. He said, Lord, put them over at Starbucks at 10:05. Somebody else is going to be there. That's a good one too. All right, listen to this. Acts 1, not yet. I want y'all to hold it just a minute. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly, listen, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They were just sitting there. Just sitting there. Nobody was up front. Nobody was shouting and screaming. They were just sitting there. Just sitting there. And I believe I heard the Holy Spirit tell me, just tell them to just sit there and relax. Just tell them to sit there and put their mind on me and let me fill them up. Now, if you need to be saved, close your eyes for just a minute. Give somebody privacy. Anyone in the house, say, Pastor, I need to be saved first. Come on, give somebody privacy. Just bow your heads a minute. Anyone say, I need to just give my life to Jesus today. I've never given my life to him, or I gave it to him once and I slid away. Anyone for that? I just want to renew my salvation with the Lord. Anyone? Okay, then I take it that you're all saved, blood bought, and sanctified, and you love Jesus. Are you perfect? No. You're not perfect. Never going to be until you get to heaven. But Jesus said, strive to be perfect as I am. So do as good as you can do. But you can do much better with the Holy Spirit's help. All right, then just sit there in your chair. Lift your hands to the Lord. And just begin to tell him, Lord, I receive your Spirit. Come on, just let him come. Let's sing, brother. Come on, you all worship the Lord. We're just going to worship right now. So the Lord would say, church, to set your face forward. Set your face like a flint and focus. You focus on me, says the Lord. And as you focus, other things fade away. The world begins to fade. The fear will fade. can't fade away. And as you focus on me, nothing else matters. For I will give you the anointing to do what you need to do. To take care of your family. To prepare the house. To prepare your food. To go to work. I'll take care of all of that. But while you're doing that, remember to focus on me, says the Lord. For I have sent my Holy Spirit to help you. He will help you in every single thing that you do all day long. Only acknowledge him, says the Lord. Acknowledge him in all of your ways, and we will bring it to pass. Stay focused. The world will try to take your attention. The enemy of your soul will try to take your attention. But I am the lover of your soul. I care about you. And my Father loves you passionately because you love me, says Jesus himself. Somebody say amen. Woo, hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Well, hallelujah. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and turn his face towards you and give you peace in your mind, your heart, your home, your love, your relationships, family, pocketbook, in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. God bless you all.